Good evening, all. This is a kind of a follow-up report on some inquiries from the board. Starting back with the Butler mixed-use approval process, where I believe it was Alderman Coleman who asked about a tree replacement program, and the topic came up more recently with another project where it appeared that the number of trees subject for removal was increasing. So the purpose of this really tonight is to give you an overview of our existing requirements in the ordinance that speak to trees through the development review process. And these are our main sections. These are found in the excerpts included in your packet from the screening and trees articles. The biggie is probably this first one, 15-318. This is the section that includes the specific provisions about identifying trees that exist on the property, the tree survey, identifying those subject to be removed, showing the orange tree protection fencing, and so forth. Section 319 speaks to some situations where the town may require developers to post some sort of security. I don't think we need to use this that often, but it is available. And then finally, sections 307, 308, which talk about the use of trees for screening, and section 317, which outlines the requirements for shade trees in our parking lots. There is a very thorough report on this already in your packet. It didn't from 1999. The last time that the board really talked about tree protection in length, it just didn't seem any need to reproduce it. The thing that I found very interesting about the report is, one, that it really gave you a good breakdown of all the sections in the ordinance, and it also offered kind of a series of observations. And this one of them that seemed most relevant was kind of a shift in trend from looking at trees from their protection and replacement as a tree by tree, you know, one for one, for more of a tree canopy approach. And this seems to be the changing trend. We've provided a little bit of information also about other tree protection programs which are coming online now, programs that have been adopted in, say, the last few years rather than in the 80s or 90s as ours was. And this seems to be the trend, is to go more to a canopy approach. So. I think that's pretty much a summary. I'm happy to answer any questions or go into things in more detail.
Randy and then Jackie.
I just wanted to check, Tina, whether or not this would be inclusive, any recommendations be inclusive and consistent with the Environmental Advisory Board's the suggested species for the town of Carrboro's accepted species, because there's a list that the Environmental Advisory Board developed, and I want to be sure that it's working with this recommendation, not separate.
As far as I know, and maybe I'm not understanding the question, that's already, I mean, we already use a recommended list of native species, so.
There's not a recommendation of anything to.
This is really more in the way of
just
a report.
I was in reading over it. Some of the suggestions had to do with being able, you know, if you took down a tree downtown, you could replace one out at the park. Mm-hmm. And I really wasn't that fond of that suggestion. We could. You know, there's that line, they took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and it would just be a tree museum or a tree zoo, as I was thinking of it. I think we need to try and prevent. I want trees everywhere, not just one place. And certainly, you know, our downtown is changing very rapidly anyway, and to have it treeless on top of it would just be kind of shocking. So I'd like to see us look at, if we're having trouble with trees being damaged or unfairly removed, I'd like to see us increase the penalties for that and step up the protection of the trees downtown rather than saying all the trees will be out in Wilson Park where we don't have room for them anyway. So no tree zoos. Okay.
Well, my main concerns is seeing how many of these big trees with a very easy explanation by any developer can be removed. And the concern that more and more what makes our towns, both Chapel Hill, probably even more Chapel Hill with all its amazing oaks over the streets, in danger of being a memory, is to find ways to continue allowing for those beautiful trees to continue providing the shade over the roads and or parking lots. And so I don't feel that we necessarily have done an analysis or consulted with the botanical garden on finding out how it is that those trees exist on Franklin Street and what it would take to think for the future generations on what it would, how they could have trees for their future and not just be in photographs. So I want us to hopefully invite someone, a tree expert, maybe even contract out to do some kind of analysis to see what it does take to have our town continue being the tree city it is, and not lose traction to more and more pavement. I mean, we currently have standards such as 20% parking, and that just seems not sufficient. And I don't read we have any standards for shading over the roads. We saw a proposal for a development recently. There are trees, but they're tiny trees on the sidewalks, and yet the sidewalk is pretty large in that proposal. So the question of whether we'd be able to have big beds, kind of like you find on Franklin Street, to accommodate larger trees. I know one of the concerns is, you know, the root system and the effects it has on things, but I want us to weigh that cost to the all the other benefits that trees provide. I used to live a couple of blocks down from downtown, and you could, just going down Old Pittsburgh Road, feel the temperature decrease because of all the trees that exist down there, and how hot it can be uptown in the summer, especially now that we're missing out on winters, and who knows what summers might look like. So the other thing is, we don't have these rules applying for non-residential development. The primary constraints and stream buffer rules included. So I want us to really implement this for those kinds of developments too. And I think those, I mean, I've got a lot of other notes, but you know, those are the main concerns I have that I want us to be addressing.
What was the last point you said, Tammy? Or Sammy, you said that it didn't apply to what?
Non-residential development. So on page 6, preliminary staff analysis of tree protections, and the last paragraph, second sentence. And we saw this in the recent Family Dollar development. The standards aren't as high for commercial developments as they are for residential. So to apply these standards of primary constraints to commercial also. And then lastly, to maybe even have a large tree, rare tree inventory for our town. Maybe even in the downtown, like to really be thinking about how when proposals come up, to let developers know that we really are serious about wanting to protect some of these trees. The PTA development being an example, there was a huge oak that was just missed from being saved because it was on the edge of where a building was planned. Right over the bike path. So, you know, those kinds of things. And it leads to all these other questions of impervious surface and the viability of trees and parking lots, if and how much space impervious surface they would need, and the compaction. You know, they're all questions, but I don't feel we've fully looked into them.
I was just curious. I was going to ask Trish, wasn't a tree inventory important old tree species Wasn't that done back in the 90s?
We've done a GIS analysis of trees, of, you know, tree cover, and then we actually had an intern do some data collection on significant trees, larger trees in the downtown area, residential and commercial. So we had some data on that.
Can you find that? I mean, I don't know how old that report is, because if I remember, it can't be.
It may have been in-house or something we shared with the planning board.
It'd be relevant to know. Sammy.
It's really interesting. The previous agenda item projected into the future and described, you know, grades to the roads. Given the current plan or what was allowable in the downtown, it would make sense to have something similar for trees. You know, not just for congestion on roads, but how do we rank in the future with trees in Carrboro given what could likely be developed?
So I think I agree with the thrust of where you're headed with that, Sammy. I think it's worth thinking about, and it's one of those things where you know, the way that you get 100-year-old trees is by planting them now, and then in 100 years from now they'll be 100 years old. And I think that's an important point. One of the challenges, not to say that this means that this doesn't refute in any way any of the points you're making, but one of the challenges is that when you're talking about DOT controlled roads, which many of, you know, the major roads in downtown mostly are DOT controlled, that the Department of Transportation has a concern about the possibility of people crashing into trees that are on the edges of roads. And I think we talked about that in the Smith Level Road context in particular, that, you know, the kinds of sort of beautiful avenues that you see in places like Wilmington and many places in North Carolina are under DOT's current rules not replaceable. I mean, that is to say, you can't plant oak trees along major roads, that certainly not along the ones that have high speeds, because DOT doesn't want people to go flinging off the road and smash into a giant oak tree, and so they require you to have cherry trees or
Branson pears.
The dreaded Bradford pears or crepe myrtles or that type of thing, which don't do so much damage to people and to cars when people crash into them. But still, anyway, I wanted to mention that just by way of kind of giving context to the topic, not by way of saying that it can't be done. Particularly, I think, you know, when you're talking about downtown Carrboro, the expectation is that people are going 20, should be going 25, maybe 30 in some places. So hopefully there would be a way to kind of meet that, to do the kinds of things that you're talking about. But some of it may come down to one of those classic confrontations between Carrboro's values and DOT's values. But anyway, so I just mentioned that to give it some context, but I also think let's look at it.
We raised the question similar, not for downtown, but along the 54 stretch with George a couple of years ago, because there was a citizen who had trees that, you know, he wanted to find out about getting planted, and because of the kind of trees that they were, they didn't meet the standards to be in that median between east and west on 54, mm-hmm. because of the line of sight and if how wide the base would be. Isn't that correct, George?
Yeah.
All of that.
So,
with the type of tree, and probably it's not a very sustainable location.
There's a feedback loop problem there, but
So, I mean, the both of those examples are higher speed roads, and so maybe maybe it is a question to DOT, like, what do they have a threshold at which there are higher restrictions for what kind of trees you can have? And downtown might be a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just throw out there that, you know, my experience on, say, like on East Rosemary Street in Chapel Hill is that, you know, some of those giant oak trees may cause problems, but they seem totally worth it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, Sammy.
Cool.
Let's have staff, if you would take a look at that, a closer look at that issue, and maybe report back, especially specifically on the issue that Sammy raised about what the requirements are, what the implications would be for increasing the requirements with respect to commercial mm-hmm. developments in the future. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear about that real, mm-hmm. more specifically.
Thanks.
All right. Is there a resolution?
Attachment A. Okay. I'll move that with Mark's recommendation, and also if the staff could fill us in on former reports.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Going to close session and
clear
the president.
Roger's wrong.
Oh, there's a resolution about, before we do that, Jackie, if you don't mind,
okay.
There's a resolution about confirming the continuation of the historic Rogers Road Neighborhood Task Force. And renewing our appointments to that task force. I believe it's currently Sammy and Michelle who are
yes.
serving.
I move we reappoint Sammy and Michelle
second.
To the task force.
And the rest of the resolution, I'm assuming?
And the rest of the resolution.
Okay. All those, it's been moved and seconded by, moved by Jackie and seconded
Randy.
By Randy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Thank you guys.
Thank you,
Sammy and Michelle. For doing that. All right.
Could I just make a point on the board manager memo?
Yes.
Real quick. Thanks. I just want to just point out that this collaboration with Clean Energy Durham is looks really hopeful, and I'm glad that we're engaging in it. They've done a lot of good work in Durham. It's kind of the basis from which you establish education for the community to recognize the value for energy efficiency, and will lay the foundation for folks to really tune into that as a huge opportunity to mitigate climate change and reduce our bills and all the other good stuff that increase your comfort. And it's a community-based effort, so very encouraging. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I went to one of their sort of focus group meetings recently, and we had a good discussion. Carbo Town staff was well represented, so I'm excited
cool.
about that too.
Awesome.
Thanks for mentioning it. Before we go to closed session, I just want to mention. I know many people. Well, folks may or may not be aware that Nice Price Books on East Main Street over there at, is it Boyd Street? Is Boyd the right name? Yeah, Boyd Street. They're on Boyd Street. They're basically on Main Street, but near the intersection of Boyd and Main Street, which has been a real institution in our community for many years, is closing, I believe, at the end of this month.
March 1st, I think.
Yeah, they'll be closed right at the end of this month. I wanted to say, first of all, as somebody who's a bit of a book collector and somebody who's worked in the used book business, that Nice Price has been a really outstanding business in our community. I believe they're having something of a liquidation sale right now. And so I highly recommend to anybody who loves books, especially used books, to stop by and avail yourself of the opportunity to pick up some of their inventory that they're liquidating. Nice Price is not going out of business altogether. They have another, at least one other location in Durham. Two other locations. They have a location in Durham and in Raleigh. In Durham, I know, on Broad Street. So check out Nice Price Books, and first of all, and thank you to the folks who've run that business for so many years in Carrboro. the used book industry has changed dramatically over the last 10 years, having to do with the internet and so forth. And it's a tougher business to run as a retail storefront than it was many years ago. We wish them well in the future in their other locations and with whatever they may be doing online. At the same time, I also want to recognize that two really incredible businesses that are that have been up to now just outside of our downtown, but have really been kind of, at least from their heart and soul, have been a part of Carrboro, are going to be moving within our jurisdiction. Back Alley Bikes, and also, what is it called? Lucky Star, which is sort of the cafe that's next door to Back Alley Bikes. The two of them are moving into that space where Nice Price Books has been. I'm really excited. I think that while it's a real loss to have Nice Price close, that like Nice Price, Back Alley Bikes is a business that is all about reusing used items and materials in our community. That's a really sustainable and entirely locally owned business. And anyway, I'm really excited about their coming in to replace Nice Price and welcome them and Lucky Star as well to our downtown. So I just wanted to put that out there. Welcome, Back Alley Bikes. We've always felt that you were a part of our community, and we're excited to have you actually within our municipal boundaries. They've got great deals on used bikes and also some of the best service around as far as helping those of us with older bikes to maintain our equipment. So anyway, all right. Is there a motion to go into closed session pursuant to the incredibly long North Carolina General Statute citation that the manager made?
143.318.11A5 to be
that one. All right, it's been moved and seconded that we go into closed session. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thanks very much, y'all. We'll actually take two minutes while the room clears to get ready for our closed session. Okay.